Something in general about Leil HaSeder, and we'll meet Hashem over the next few weeks. Hashem should give us all the chayach, we should be able to cover, you know, some of the Anyonim of Leil HaSeder. It's such an important night. All of the 7 days of Pesach, but especially the Seder night, there's so many details. And sometimes I can say, but how does the saying go? Because of the trees, you don't see the forest, or is it the other way around?
Miss the forest for the trees.
What?
I miss the forest for the trees.
You miss the forest for the trees?
You see, oh, a tree here, a tree here, a tree here, a tree here. You don't realize you're in the middle of a forest.
Right. Miss the forest. You miss the forest for the trees. You got to see the whole picture. You got to be able to see the whole picture of what's happening on the LSAU. Sotik speaks about this in many places. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you know, like, why was going into the issue, why a human being was created, what was he created to do? The Gemara says, Adam la'omal yulod, person was created for toiling. Oh, toiling, that's like a four-letter word in American. Right, Americans don't, oh no, it gotta be easy. I'll give you an example of this guy last night. He has this person's emuna. I was so misspoke with this guy's emuna. They have such strong faith. These guys, I mean, some of the stuff they believe obviously is wrong, but some of it is right also. Such strong emuna. This guy believes that, and there's no shyness. It's true. There's riches. I don't know if it's oil, but there's riches under the land. Says in Pesukim in the Torah, it says under the land, under the ground, there's tremendous wealth. Megat Shemayim Alma Tahim Revetzes Tochas. There's Pesukim in the Torah. What I did know, there was several other attempts in the course of the last 20, 30 years of different groups, Jewish groups and Lahavdil Christian groups, to find oil in Israel just based on Pesukim in Tanakh.
Really?
Yeah, just based on anyway, so this person, like, he's been working on this for like 20 years. He's like, all his personal wealth he put into, and he never, you know, this time it didn't go, and this time it didn't go. You know how much money it costs to dig an oil well?
Millions.
It's a lot of money, bottom line. So somebody called him up, like Risa, a few years ago, and said, you know, as the rights came up on a certain field. And he says, he told him, so, you know, how many times Zari's completely like this disillusion? 15 years he's working on this premise that there's got to be oil there, and you know, but it's getting nowhere, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars and getting zero. Like, it's a very frustrating thing to look for oil, I think. I think the guys who get oil, like, they deserve it. Like, there's a lot of disappointment involved, a lot of throwing money and getting nothing. It's not like, you know, okay, you know, like, we'll make styrofoam instead. You get nothing. You're nothing. Absolutely nothing. You just sunk a lot of money into a hole, and that's it. Wow, we got a great hole. The machinery, everything has nothing to do with anything afterwards. It's like everything or nothing. What's they call that? All or nothing. All or nothing game, man. He gets a phone call again. This is after 15 years of throwing money in it. And he says, I said to myself, you know, another time, like, how many times can you keep doing this? All his money's gone and everything. He says, Sam, but it's God's oil. It's God's land, it's God's oil. If God wants me to do it again, tell me so that. And throws another time. And anyway, this time it sounds like they got thrown to something. But you have to be willing to have the whole, see the whole picture, and to get the whole picture, sometimes you have to go through all the details to get the whole picture. You know these paintings that are made out of little Monet, you know, those things. How much work must have gone into making those paintings? You didn't do those in 5 minutes, right? It's not like you get some of these paintings, you know, broad strokes and big, you know, big areas of color. This is like, he must have been an unusual character. A tremendous amount of patience. But you know, you can't get the whole picture without all those details. And those details, each one on their own, they mean nothing. You know, if you get real close to the painting, you don't see anything. If you get too involved in the details, you don't see anything. But then when you step back, you get a beauty that's unnatural. You know, it's just something beyond what the normal eye sees. I don't know why that is, but it's That's not the way an eye sees. You don't see all these little tiny dots here, you know, put them together. That's not the way the human eye sees. Create some kind of beauty that's kind of beyond the natural beauty. You have to be willing to put in all the effort and the details to get the beauty of this higher level of beauty that we're looking for. The Gemara says, what is a person created for? Lo'amo, to work, to toil. A person has to, like we learned in the Chumash today, 7 days they brought the Karbonis to the base of Mikdash, put it up, took it down, put it up, took it down, put it up. It sounds like a Greek tragedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sisyphus, Lahavdil, right? You get nothing out of it. Eighth day even comes, you get nothing out of it. Find it in this pile of the machine that comes. What do you think? It was just that last people that did it? Wasn't. It was the culmination of all that avoda, working out the details, bringing the korbanos every single day, the korban nochatus, the oil, the shlomim, and then the zrikas adam on the mizbeach, and all the details with the chayla, with the klayos, with the yaseras, with the blood here and the blood there, and burning this over here and burning that over there every single day, all the million and one details, and they don't get it, nothing, until then they get this beautiful picture, the Shekhinah comes. You have to be willing to toil. It was, what type of toil? Any of them, the toil in lomo guf? A lomo pet? First was created to toil. What kind of toil, the Gemara says? To toil with the body or to toil with the mouth? The Gemara says, Ekafel of Pihu brings a positive that the conclusion is we're created to toil with our mouths. So the Tzaddik says, what do you mean? What kind of happiness does the Gemara have that a human being was created for physical work? To toil with our body? Oh, we're all created to be, what do you call it, mechanics? You know, guys with grease on their hands? That's what we were created to be? Habamin in the Gemara, a person is created to, be carpenters? The whole world should be carpenters? Whether these Mennonites here, they have to work with their hands. It's like a weird Habamin in the Gemara, no? After Shvitz, so we were created for that. That's a punishment.
Right.
The Gemara wants to know what's like the taplis of creation. So Tzolik says, Chas v'Shom, there's no Havamin in the Gemara that a person was created for physical labor. The Havamin in the Gemara is we were created to toil either with our Maisim Tzolik, with the good things we do with the Maisim Mitzvahs, is that the Iker? Or with the mouth, or with the Mitzvahs we do with our mouth. What's the Iker toil? The main toiling in Avodas Hashem, is it in the actions of the mitzvahs, the 600 and some odd, positive ones, 200 and some odd positive commandments, you have to get up and do something, eat matzah, put on tefillin, wear tzitzis, give tzedakah, all the things that we have to do? Or is it mainly the toil is in the mitzvahs which have to do with the mouth? Which mitzvahs have to do with the mouth?
Lashon hara.
That's true. Right. Lashon hara. Is that tefillah and Torah? Basically, it's tefillah and Torah. Right. So that's how Reb Tzadok learns the question in the Gemara. What is the main thing? What is the kernel of Yiddishkeit? What is it? Is it toiling in the mice and mitzvahs? Is it toiling in the mitzvahs that have to do with our mouth? The Gemara concludes it's the mitzvahs that have to do with our mouth. That's a Torah and tefillah. So Pesach, in the Sforim HaKadoshim, it brings Pesach is from the, it's like a play on words. Pesach. The mouth speaks. Pesach is about the mouth speaking. And the two greatest mitzvahs, or the central mitzvahs on Pesach, are with the mouth. Eating the matzah and the korban Pesach, and telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Those are the two focal points of Pesach. It all comes down to one, it's the mouth. Through the mouth you breathe and you speak, and through the mouth you eat. So Pesach, Reb Tzadok, is based on the Zohar, that in Egypt, the golus, the aspect of a how to do that? How'd you do that?
Moved
it. That's it? You just have to move it and stop doing it?
Yeah, but then it
attacks
back
you'll
put it to
a while. that the Zohar says that in Egypt the dibur was in golus. The faculty of speech was in golus. And when we came out of Egypt, that's why it's called Pesach. Pesach, then the mouth could speak. After we left Egypt, the mouth could speak. It was a geula, it was a redemption of the mouth. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a redemption of the mouth. You want anything practical? What do you need practical for?
What does it mean, the redemption of the mouth?
We're going to talk about that's the whole thing we're going to talk about. Now, we know that the Chazal tell us that the Golus in Egypt, two things we know about it, or many things we know about it, two things I want to focus on is what caused it, and that's the many Chazalim. One of the Chazals, Avraham Avinu, said, B'mo'edo. He said, how will I know that we'll receive the land? So Hashem said, Yadoh Teda, you're going to know. But because he asked the question, your descendants will have to go into Golus. Because of what he said, what Avraham Avinu said, which was inappropriate for his Madrega, so that's what brought the Golus. So we see that speech generated the Golus, or the inappropriate use of speech, and speech also exacerbated the Golus of Mitzrayim, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was very disturbed by the suffering of the Jewish people, and when he saw the Egyptian hitting and killing the Jewish man, so what did he do? What did Moshe do? He killed the Egyptian, and he buried him in the sand. The next day he sees two Jews fighting, right? And he's giving him Musa, you know, you guys shouldn't be. Act like Bnei Torah, act like Yeshiva Bochum, not like Vilna Chayes. So, who are you to give us Musa? What, you're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? So that's when Moshe realized he had to run away. Why? Because he said, Ochein noida hadova. Uh-oh, he says, the secret is out. Chazal tell us that they were talking about it. They were spreading the word that Moshe killed the Egyptian, and obviously that's going to get back to Pharaoh, and he's going to be in big trouble. That's Lashon Hara. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, he says, until now he didn't understand, he had tremendous theological distress, if we can say it like that. Why the Jewish people suffered so much? Why are they suffering so much? He says, now I see that they speak Lashon Hara, no kashas. Now I understand why. That was enough to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu why Am Yisrael is in Golus. What did he see from that? That the Dibur, there was an aspect of the speech is in Golus. The appropriate use of, or let's say it that way, the inappropriate use of every faculty that Hashem gives us. Let's imagine a board game for a moment, right?
Yeah.
And you're given pieces. You're given very, very valuable, you know, some pieces are more valuable than others. You got, you know, your soldiers and your warships and your whatever it is, you know, your nukes, whatever you got, you know, smart missiles, what are they called? No, there's a name for them.
Guided ones?
Heat seeking?
Yeah, they have a name. Cruise missiles, you know, these like real cool cruise missiles, you know, turning corners, knocking on doors. Hey, is this 224 74 Street? No, okay, I'm gone. You know, like, oh, you got all these really, really chashuva pieces, and they can do remarkable things, the pieces, you know. But you got an opponent, you know, and he wants to capture your pieces. So, like, this is the way the game goes. You get all the pieces, and your opponent gets nothing. He gets nothing. But you can't see him. You can't see your opponent. And he can grab pieces. You got to defend yourself. Not only you got to defend him, you got to attack him, but you got to defend yourself, right? And how are you defending him? Somebody you don't see. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, your foot soldier's going, hey, where'd it go? Hey, I got him. Then you see, you know, a tank is going, uh-oh, you know, losing the bank. And then you're missing a nuke. You're missing a cruise missile. You're in big trouble, right? Like the other side's got your pieces. That's what Golus is. Hashem creates us as individuals, as a nation, with tremendous potential, tremendous talents, characteristics, capabilities. And those are the pieces that are given to us. But the Yetzer Hara tries to take them away, get them on his side of the board. Speech, gewaltig. You can bring the Shechina with your speech. Or you can speak, like you said, Lashon Hara. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ochein no da'adomer. He says, now I know why they're in Golus. If they use their speech, that's their nukes. That's their nukes. That's their cruise missiles. They're using their speech inappropriately against the will of Hashem. That's called the Dibur in Golus. The peace has been captured by the enemy and is a captive. He's being held captive. A person's faculties, God-given talents and faculties, which are now being operated and controlled by the enemy force. What's that called? Sabotage, right? They've infiltrated our, you know, the biggest victory is not when you've vanquished your enemy. The biggest victory is when your enemy starts fighting on your side, right? But if it's the other way around, if the enemy gets your side to work against you, you're done. You know, the enemy has then vanquished you. So that's when any faculty is used inappropriately, and if it's become in a habitual fashion, God forbid, it's even worse. But that's an aspect of Golus Hashchina. There's part of me which is supposed to represent Hashem's greatness, which is now captive to the other side. And on Pesach, before Pesach, Am Yisrael's nukes, the Kol Yaakov, the thing that the Jewish people were blessed with to overcome Esau, was the voice. When Yitzhak received Yaakov, he thought it was Esav. He didn't know who he was. He's scratching his head. He can't see, right? He says, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yadayim yidei Esav. He says, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. I hear the way he speaks, the gentleness, the derech eretz. He speaks emunah, he speaks about Hashem Yisborah. I hear that the voice of Yaakov, the Chazal Darshan, when do we say Esav is helpless? When the call of Yaakov, when there's a voice of Yaakov in the Bote Knesses, in the Bote Midrashas, in the Bote Knesses means the davening, in the Bote Midrashas means the learning. When there's the voice of Yaakov in the shuls and in the yeshivas, Ein the Yedayim Shel Esav Sholtos Bo, then the hands of Esav cannot touch us. But if, Chas V'Sholom, the voice of Yaakov is not heard in the Beis Midrash, is not heard in the shuls and tefillah and in learning, Ayodayim, the hands of Esav, Sholtos Bo, then the hands of Esav can control us. That's the concept of Shechinah in Golus. So the Shechinah in Golus, and the king piece of all the pieces that we were given is the kol, is our ability to speak the words of Torah, to speak the words of Tefillah, to speak Diburim Tovim, good words about people, not bad words about people. So Avraham Avinu had with his mouth expressed a chisorn in emunah, a little bit of a deficiency in emunah. Am Yisrael, that's deficiency festered and grew until it got to the point that Am Yisrael in Egypt, there was something wrong with their speech. The faculty of speech was completely into goals. I mean, they could not accomplish anything. In fact, the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, had completely taken over their ability to speak. And that's the Iker. Like the Gemara says, what was man created for? La'omol peh. to toil with the mouth, to toil in the words of tefillah, to toil in the words of Torah, and they completely, that was completely taken away. They completely lost him. So what was the tikkun? What was the beginning of coming out of that? It says in the Pesukim in the Torah, right, when it speaks about when did Hashem pay attention and really take the Jewish people out, what did they do? Then Hashem started paying attention. Vayitzak el Hashem Elokeinu, vayishma eskoleinu. We screamed out to Hashem and He heard our voice. He heard the voice. So, now the voice is being reconnected to where it's supposed to be. We're taking back the voice back to where it belongs on our side of the board, taking it away from the enemy. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoteinu. We cried out to the God of our forefathers, because the forefathers, they established the relationship with Hashem through their voices, through what they said, what they taught, through their tefillahs. And now they were taking this attribute that we inherited from our forefathers, which has been in Golus for these 400 years, and returning it to where it belongs, redeeming. That's like going in to the enemy camp and redeeming the captive, taking back the prisoner of war and repossessing it, taking back that peace and repossessing it, and use it for what it was originally created for, which was to connect to Hashem. That the voice, we have the ability to speak in order to connect to Hashem. And we know that the tachlis, we learned it in the Chumash here, the whole purpose of Torah mitzvahs is to get the Ribbono Shel Olam into our heart. Like the Ibn Ezra says, a person would thousands and thousands and thousands of years spend learning the Torah, he still wouldn't understand even a little mashu, a little tiny portion of the Torah. He says, what's the ikar of the Torah? Is to get the Hashem into our hearts. Kikorov elecha dover ma'oi beficha ubelvovcha lasoso. Says Ibn Ezra, like it says in the pasuk, the Torah is very close to you, beficha, in your mouth, ubelvovcha, and in your heart, lasoso, to do it. Says the Ibn Ezra, that's the order of importance, or that's the pecking order. That's the procedure of how to do avodas Hashem. Beficha, with the mouth. Through the mouth you get it into your heart, and through your heart you can get your deeds to be correct. You can do the right thing. Then you can actually be a doer and do the right things in life. But the main thing is getting it into the heart. And without speaking the words of Torah, like the Gemara says, like the Pasuk says, that the words of the Torah have to get into the heart. Al levavecha has to go into the heart. V'shinantem levanecho. You have to speak them out. You have to speak the words of the Torah out. So much so the Gemara says, or the wife of Rabbi Meir, well, she heard some guy wasn't speaking it out properly. She says, "Typically, you fool." Says, "Chayim heim lemotzeihem." The words of Torah bring life to those who speak them out. You know, you walk into a base midrash, you go into a big base, you go into the mirror yeshiva, you go over here to the Torah, or you know, in the middle of Seder, you can't hear yourself sing. People screaming their heads off. Walk into Oxford Library. Just my throat. Library has been quiet, you know. Everybody's getting smart. Yeah! Screaming, raging in the face. I'm thinking of standards ready to knock over their heads. Can you get a bigger, you know, you look at Lahavdil University Library and a base midrash. Can there bigger, can there be a starker contrast than, what does that tell you? What does it tell you? There's a different. The whole. It's all. It's about something else completely. It's not about getting smart. Torah's not about getting smart. Torah's about connecting to Hashem. And the way you connect to Hashem, it has to be through... Why it's like this is a different question, but it has to be through the mouth. If you're just trying to get smart, you know, you could seal your lips. In fact, if you're just trying to focus on the wisdom, just talk, just read, right? That's the whole thing, just absorb it. Why waste the energy and the time that it takes to say the words? It's much quicker. I think I read somewhere that the secret of speed reading is not saying the words in your mind while you're reading. You have to kind of just absorb what's on the page.
Wow.
If you're just after the information, it doesn't make sense to speak. But if what we're doing is trying to get our hearts connected with Hashem, that, for whatever reason it is like that, it can only happen through the mouth. As Burya said, Chaim Heim Lemotza Ehem. Chaim, it's the connection to Hashem, comes through Motziom Bepeh. Those who speak out the words of Torah. A person could think all day long wonderful, holy thoughts of yearning and desires to Hashem, but the Torah says, Tefillah, you should be mispala, open your mouth. Open your mouth and speak about it. This is the crown jewel of a human being, is the faculty of speech. And through that using of speech correctly through Torah and Tefillah, that we can connect Hashem to our hearts. And that's what the purpose of all the Torahs. And once we're connected in our hearts, then we're going to do the right thing automatically. The Maisim HaMetukonim, that our deeds should be in sync with our beliefs, comes only through exercising the faculty of Kol Yaakov, the voice that comes from Yaakov, that we inherited from our brothers. And we know the Groh says, all the brachas, all the blessings that we have in the world, from the beginning of the creation of Am Yisrael till today, come from the blessings that Yitzhak gave to Yaakov the night that he thought that he was Esav, right? He was going to give the brachas to Esav. He thought, he didn't know he was giving the brachas to Yaakov, he thought he was giving the brachas to Esav, right? What did he tell, he thought it was Esav, but what did he tell Esav to bring him? Shnei Gidoye Izi. Bring me two goats, two young goats, and make them very nicely roasted meat, gishmaka. Right, my mother-in-law, may be blessed, Leo Shalom, she said that goat meat is the most delicious meat you have, but it's very, very difficult to make it, because there's certain fats in the goat which make the meat taste bad. You have to separate them out, completely get it out, and once you've cleaned the meat in the proper way, it's the most delicious meat in the world. Wow. Yitzhak told Yaakov, bring me these gedoyim, avasei matamim. Make him delicacies like you know how to do. Well, the Esav was a tremendous kibud avim. He would go to the effort to make. Yaakov, I guess, wasn't so good about it. Excuse me, it was Rivka said. Rivka said, bring the shnei gedoyim izim. Why? Because Yaakov asked for venison, for deer. Rivka wasn't going to go out and hunt down deer, right? So she bring me these two goats, shnei gedoyim izim. And it'll taste just like venison. That's the Rashi says. It's so delicious, this goat meat. If prepared properly, it tastes like venison. I said, what? How many people are coming for this meal? You've got to have two goats. Two goats? Ela Pesach for you. It was Leil Pesach. One is for Korban Pesach. Another is the Korban Chagiga. The two korbanos you have to bring for Pesach. It was Pesach. It says the Groh that those brachas that Yitzhak gave to Yaakov that night are the source of every physical and spiritual blessing that Am Yisrael has ever received from that time on. And lulei habrochas, had it not been for receiving those brochas on that night, we would not have been able to exist in this world. And that was the godless of Rivka. She knew that Yaakov had to get the brochas. And on that night, it says in the Targum, Oitzes Shemaim were opened up. It was a time, he knew the exact time. Yitzhak Avinu knew this is the time when the gates of heaven are open, when the treasure houses of Hashem for physical sustenance and blessing and plenty were opened up. This was a tremendous Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem. It's a special night. And Yitzhak knew that he could bring down these tremendous blessings that night. He knew this is the night that you're going to bring down these tremendous blessings for what he thought it was the future cause. I don't know if he thought it was the future cause, but he thought it was important for Esau. Rivka knew it, the Klal Yisrael needed it, and all these brachas are going to be brought down on that night, and without those brachas we'd have nothing. That's Leil Pesach. All of what we're sitting to hear, and talking words of Torah, and the air that we breathe, and the food that we eat, and the drink that we have, and the clothes, and everything that Klal Yisrael has benefited from, all those, all comes from that night. Leil Pesach. How did it come about? Through Shnei Gedoye Izi. He had to eat. Yitzhak had to eat. These blessings could only come about through him eating the korbanos, eating the meat. And then he would say the words of the blessings, and that brought all the hatzlochot that we have. You know, if we could put it all together, you know, give me a financial report of 3,000 years of existence. How many brachos does Klal Yisrael see? It all comes from those two things, from eating and speech. From the peh, from the mouth. And every Pesach, every night of Pesach, that same he'ora, that same force, that same energy comes back. And we have to reestablish our control of the mouth on Leil Pesach. We have to get that piece back. We may have slipped out of our hands and the enemy has taken bits and pieces of it. In Egypt they took the whole thing. And then Rav Shlomo gave it back to us. We were redeemed on Pesach. That attribute was redeemed. We're able again to use the mouth, the koach of speech, to reconnect to Hashem. And that's really what we're doing on Leil Pesach, is focusing on those two aspects of the mouth, the eating, which we'll speak about in Mitzvah Hashem next week, faculty of eating, which is the root of all evil, comes from the misuse of eating, the inappropriate forms of eating, and speech. So we have the sipur of the Haggadah, the telling of the Haggadah to fix the speech, and the Hallel, which is the Tefillah. Hallel is Tefillah, to fix the speech. And we have the Chila, the eating of all the details, all the things that we eat at the Leil HaSeder, to reestablish, to reconnect, redeem, so to speak, to rescue the Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice which is in Golus, which has fallen to the enemy over the years, over the course of the year. This is in the Gemara. There, we know we have a kone and a veshet. There's an esophagus and the trachea, right? The esophagus goes into the stomach, and the trachea goes into the lungs. They run parallel to each other. In fact, they branch out from each other. But these are called in the Gemara simonim. Simonim. These what do you mean simonim? Simonim are like signs, right? Like if you want to make, they have road signs. You know, international road signs are always symbols, right? Because you can't put a language, because everyone speaks a different language, right? Symbols which say the whole thing. Like, you know, I don't know. What's the
railroad.
Yeah, railroad track, or, you know, a stop sign. Different things that it says the whole thing. Or like, you got a picture of a man and an X. Like, you know, like, no. You know, or a guy swimming and an X on it. No swimming. Everybody knows. You see a man swimming, you know, there's no swimming, right? There's signs that the sign says the whole thing. You could have a whole paragraph of explanation and you get it in one image, right? But a picture worth a thousand words. The simonim, these are the signs of a human being, the trachea and the esophagus, the kon and the veshet. That's the whole order. How you eat and how you use your breath. In speech, that's the whole thing. If you can get those, correct those things, if you can get those things lined up on the right side, everything else is going to come, fall in place. Like somebody, Talbot told me once, is take a train. You got hundreds of cars, right? You got to make sure the engine, the head engine, what's it called? The head, the locomotive, right? You got to get the locomotive, the head locomotive, you got to get it going straight. If it's not going straight, nothing else is going to go straight. You get it on tracks, it's going to pull everything behind you. We've got to get the speech and the ability to eat. We know that, just we'll speak about it next week in Mitzvah Hashem, that the first sin in the world was through eating. Well, it's not a coincidence. Could have been anything. Could have been stealing. Why didn't Hashem say, you know, don't steal from the tree, don't take from the tree. He said, don't eat from the tree. So that's the inappropriate use of the body. is mostly manifest in the way we eat. So Leil Pesach, you know, it's not really a great pleasure to eat that matzah, is it?
I like it.
You like matzah? You like to eat how much matzah in how much time? You don't like to eat. Nobody likes to eat the matzah the way we eat it on Leil HaSeder. Because we've got to recapture the faculty of eating the Kedusha. Eating the Kedusha is I'm eating now because it's Ratzon Hashem to eat. So we got to eliminate as much as possible the physical enhancements of eating. You got to swallow it whole. You got to eat fast. You got to have something that has no salt in it, no sugar, no spices, no anything, just water and flour that hasn't risen at all. And you got to get that down your throat quickly. And then eat, what do you call it? The Korban Pesach. When do you eat the Korban Pesach?
Yeah.
After the whole meal. Who wants to have got this delicious meal, and now the lady of the house brings out, you're waiting for dessert, right? And you're waiting for, you know, cream pies and ice creams and chocolates, and she brings out a big roast beef.
You have to eat it all.
Nobody wants to, and you got to eat it all right, and don't break any bones on the way. Who wants to eat that stuff after a whole meal? Allah so now that you're completely satiated, now have some meat. And afterwards, no mince. Nothing to wash it down, right? Not what? That's the Korban Pesach. You gotta eat the whole eating of Leil HaSeder. Guess what else we get to eat? Moror. You can eat some bitter herbs. The whole Achila of Leil HaSeder is an Achila of Kedusha. Now, it doesn't mean that before there couldn't be a chilav kedusha with pleasure also, but you got to get at least one time. You got to get it straight. No mixed messages here. This is an achila only because of the sake of the mitzvah. Mitzvah Hashem will try and discuss over the next few weeks other issues, but this is like, let's see the forest here. The idea of the Leil HaSeder is Pesach, is to recapture through all the details that we do at the Leil HaSeder, is to recapture and refocus the faculty of speech, the power of the mouth to be used correctly, that our physical pleasures in the world should be al pi Torah, according to Torah, that's symbolized in, it manifests itself more in food than anything else, and that our speech should be in accordance with Torah. When we've got those two things lined up, Pesach is, remember, the beginning of the year. The real first holiday of the year is not Rosh Hashanah, it's Pesach, then the whole year can be set up, will follow correctly. So it's a very important night, and if we learn, if we prepare ahead of time, and to the extent that we can understand what we're doing, we will enhance the effectiveness of those mitzvahs. The mitzvahs will work even if we understand nothing, but there's no comparison between the effect of the mitzvah with understanding and without it. The more we understand the mitzvah, the more we're able to draw from its strengths and energies that the mitzvah has. What is that? What is that?